Good morning. Just a couple disclaimers. As you look at your bulletin today and you want to follow the sermon through the outline, things have changed a little bit. This week I've gone really back and forth all week on what to focus on, and so it's going to be a little similar but a little dissimilar. So pay more attention to me than the bulletin, but there should be room to jot down notes as you want. And also, I've been kind of battling a cold, feeling a little under the weather, so if I have to spontaneously stop and blow my nose or have some sniffles, or if I just flat out pass out, you guys, you know what's going on, so you don't have to be too worried. You know, in Scripture, the Christian life, you know, is often compared to a race. Paul talks about in 1 Timothy, he says, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race." And in Hebrews, the author says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 9 that you are to run that you may obtain the prize, to not run aimlessly. These verses have taken on a deeper meaning for me, in that three weeks ago, at this time, I was struggling through the Des Moines Half Marathon. And they even gave me a medal to prove it. You guys are all welcome after the service to come up and look at it. You are not allowed to touch it, but you can certainly look at it. But as you think of, in fact, I'll put it down here so it's a little easier access, but As you think about a race, and you know, this half marathon was 13 miles, and through any race and through life, there are going to be challenges. There's going to be times that are difficult, times when you think, I can't go on another step. And it's the same way in life. There's going to be times where there are challenges, times where you think that, you know, I can't go on another step. And we've been going through the life of Joseph these past few weeks, and Joseph is truly an amazing man. He's an amazing man of faith. We can see a life of faith lived out. Joseph is faithful to God. God is faithful to Joseph. And as we read Joseph, you look at his life, you think, man, this should be the goal of all of us. This life of faith through challenges. This life of faith through difficulty. It's interesting, you know, we can look at Joseph, and today we're going to look at him coming out of his challenges. You know, Pastor Jim a couple weeks ago shared where Pharaoh, he interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh. And Joseph is now out of jail, or one of the translations says out of the pit, of the dungeon. And I can tend to look at the Joseph story and really focus on this part. You know, that he is now leading, he's second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt. Things are going great, you know, and I know what's going to happen next week and the week after, that, you know, the family's going to be restored, and it's a joyful, happy ending. But it's, you know, sometimes we need to think of what Joseph came through to get a good understanding of where he's at now. And, you know, he went through some very, very challenging situations. The fact for each one of us, we're either going through a challenging situation, we're just come out of a challenging situation, or we're going to be going into a challenging situation. So I think as we look at Joseph, we can learn some things to help us get through those times. When life is hard and when life's a struggle. But to start out with, I want to do a timeline of Joseph's life. I think timelines are important. You know, I've done one for myself a couple times and have had other people do a timeline. And as you think of life as a race, and, you know, we've got, birth here for Joseph, and his life here until his death. We'll draw a little headstone here for him. That's Joseph's timeline. And it's our timeline. And as you think about Joseph, you know, he's born and he is the favorite. He is the favorite child. Life is good for Joseph. He's kind of coasting around. He's got this coat of many colors, kind of looks like a cross a little bit, but he's got this multicolored coat he's wearing. He is the favored child. Life is good. He turns 17 years old. Life takes a bad, steep turn. He is thrown into the pit by his brothers. They want to throw him in there. They want to let him just die. They can't stand Joseph. A caravan is coming by. They say, hey, why don't we sell him? We can make some money. So they sell Joseph into slavery. I would guess this is a dark point for Joseph. But time goes by, and he enters Potiphar's house. And things are good. You know, he's got some authority in the house. He's well-respected. He's well-liked. And things are going pretty good here until what happens? Potiphar's wife wants to be romantic with Joseph. Joseph declines. She tells on him that he tried to do stuff with her. And he gets thrown into prison again. The ESV in last week's section talks about it being the pit again. So they estimate Joseph is 19 years old when he goes into jail. You know, I'm guessing things were pretty bad for a while and probably get better and better. And, you know, Joseph's kind of getting used to this prison thing. And, you know, I think he seems to be well-respected in prison. He interprets some dreams for the baker and the cupbearer. And the baker, the cupbearer, he says, hey, this is going to happen, and you're going to be dismissed out of jail and go back to serving Pharaoh. The baker, he says, not so good for you. You're going to end up getting killed. And it happens, but he tells the cupbearer, remember me. When you go to Pharaoh, remember me. So I'm guessing as he's dismissed, Joseph has got to think, my days are few here in prison. You know, I'm going to get out of here. What happens? The cupbearer forgets. He doesn't do anything. And it says, after 2 years, you know, I'm guessing Joseph is thinking, I am stuck here. I'm going to be here. After 2 years, Pharaoh has a dream. Mentions it to his cupbearer. And, you know, nobody knows any idea what's going on. They can't interpret it. And the cupbearer says, oh, yeah, that's right. There's a Canaanite man in prison that interprets dreams. And so they call Joseph, says they get him out of the pit. They shave him, cut his hair. And he goes to Pharaoh and interprets the dreams. Says there's going to be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. Says to Pharaoh, you need to save up grain over the 7 years of plenty, so that when the famine hits, we'll be okay. And then that leads us to our scripture passage today, Genesis chapter 41, starting in verse 37. So if you want to open your copies of God's Word to Genesis 41. So Joseph has just told Pharaoh the plan that he should do. You need to create a reserve of grain to get through those 7 years. And verse 37, the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in the chariot of his second in command, and men shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all of Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephanath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the seas. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his first son Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do what he tells you. When the famine had spread all over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians. For the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in the whole world. Joseph has certainly come out of his pit. You know, he is now second in command to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, you know, no one will do anything unless you give the word. You know, only I, with the throne, have more authority over you. I mean, what a change from that pit of despair, from his challenging situation. And I think as we look at problems that we face, you know, most of our problems aren't going to be thrown into a pit, sold into slavery by your brothers, or falsely accused and put into prison. But we certainly have problems. We certainly have challenges. Joseph shows us the importance of living out your faith in those challenges. You know, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 to work out your faith with fear and trembling. And we are challenged throughout Scripture to live out your faith. And it's important that we remember that we don't live out our faith. We don't seek to do good works to gain salvation, to gain favor with God. You know, we do that because of our salvation, because of what God has done. And Joseph shows us this, and first and foremost, I think he uses his gifts and abilities in all his situations in life. You know, and as you think about some of the gifts and abilities that maybe Joseph had, you know, he obviously had the gift of administration. You know, he was able to organize things. I think we see that when he's in Potiphar's house and things are going well. And we see that now in today's scripture passage as Joseph organizes all of Egypt, you know, to save grain, to save, to accumulate a massive amount of grain to get through those 7 years. And, you know, just think of the logistical nightmare that would have been involved with that. And then to distribute the grain as they enter the famine. So in Joseph, you know, he obviously had leadership skills. He had to convince people to follow. And maybe that ring on his finger is what did it. You know, that signet ring from Pharaoh. Say, hey, you have to follow me. You know, I'm second in command. But I think we see that Joseph had leadership skills throughout. You know, even as he dealt with his brothers, he seemed to have some integrity that they may not have had. As he was in Potiphar's house, as he was in prison, he just seemed to rise. He seemed to rise to the top. So I think Joseph had leadership skills. Joseph certainly had faith. He trusted in God. You know, as he interpreted the dreams three times, in all those cases, he said, you know, this comes from God. You know, my relationship is such with God that he will help me to interpret those dreams. So as we look at Joseph living out his faith and using his gifts and abilities, you know, the challenge for us is how about you? You know, do you, when life gets hard, when life gets challenging, do you continue to seek to live out your faith? You know, do you use your God-given gifts and your abilities to go through hard times? That begs the question, do you know your gifts and abilities? You know, have you ever spent the time to really sit down and think about and investigate how God has uniquely made you? And this isn't something you can just spend an hour or two. You know, I mean, my nature and most of our nature, I think, is, you know, give me some sort of test, let me take it, let's spit out the answers, and poof, I'm done. You know, but this is something that really, really seriously takes time. To spend time thinking how God has made you. You know, what am I good at? What are my gifts? What are my abilities? Where are my passions? There are assessments to help you with this, your personality assessments. There are spiritual gifts assessments. You know, there's all sorts of things that can help you. A website called uniquelyyou.com kind of combines the spiritual gifts and a personality assessment that's, you know, can give you some insight into yourself. But it really takes getting alone with God and spending time and asking him to lead and guide you through this process. You know, I know I spent 6 to 9 months within the last couple of years really focusing on this. You know, how has God made me? What are my passions? What am I good at? What am I not so good at? So, you know, I challenge all of you to really, really investigate that. I'd love to help you. I'm sure Pastor Jim would love to help you. Dee, I don't know, Dee, you'd probably love to help you if you're under 12. No, under 18. Then that's his sweet spot. In fact, I'm going to spend some time in a couple weeks re-looking at this topic. You know, how has God made me? Joseph, I believe, lived this out day after day after day. They estimate he was in prison 11 years. You know, and you think, wow, how horrible would that be? But I believe Joseph was faithful day after day after day. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, which is a verse that Joe shared last week at our 20th anniversary service. As we look ahead to the next 20 years, it says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So it's always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, that you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, day after day after day. It doesn't mean we don't blow it. You know, I blow it all the time. But you come back to God, you repent, you seek forgiveness, you move forward. You know, as I did this marathon, this half marathon, the last 3 miles were bad. It got to the point, you know, and that's kind of amazing to me to think, well, the first 10 miles weren't so bad, which, you know, makes me want to, I mean, that's amazing to even say out of my mouth. I mean, look at me. I'm not a runner. But the last 3 miles were bad. And it got to the point where I concentrated on putting one foot in front of the other and hoped I wasn't going to fall down. The last 1 mile, when I say the last three were bad, the last one was really, really bad. And that's how it is as we go through life sometimes. Sometimes you get in situations that are bad. Sometimes the situation's really, really bad. And the call to put one foot in front of the other, remain faithful, and keep moving on. You know, keep getting through that day. You know, in that last mile, I saw the corner where we turned to head to the finish line, and I was focused on that corner. And I know we've got some marathon people out here, and they're thinking, hey, Matt, that was only 13 miles. Relax. That was easy. But I am focused on that corner because I know once I see the finish line, it's going to be a piece of cake. And this corner is, well, let's say it's down at the golf course corner. So it's, you know, it's close to a half mile away. And I am on the verge of cramping every muscle in my legs. And I am focused one foot in front of the other. And I get to that corner, and the finish line is still 5 or 6 blocks away. You know, it was just absolutely demoralizing. But then again, you just say, okay, I still got to just do one foot in front of the other. And I think that's got to be Joseph's experience in prison, I think. You know, one day after another. Maybe it was hour by hour. You know, we don't know. Prison couldn't have been a great place. When it talks about what Pharaoh brought him, it says, you know, the ESV, they took him out of the pit. It couldn't have been a nice place. And, you know, like I said, I can tend to focus on the years where things are going great for Joseph, but those had to have been 11 bad, bad years. So just, you know, one day, one foot after the other, one foot in front of the other, one, you know, day after day after day, to be faithful. As we look at this Joseph story, you know, I think we're challenged to live a life that others recognize as having faith. Pharaoh obviously recognized Joseph was a man of God. And he says that when he pulls him out of the pit. You know, Matthew 5 tells us to be salt and light in our communities. And the challenge for us is, are you living a life that people can see that you are a follower of Christ in how you live? That others can see it? Are you loving other people? Do you place the needs of other people before your own? Are you using your gifts and abilities? And are you giving credit to God? You know, when Joseph interpreted the dreams, he said, it's not me, it's God. It's God interpreting these. You know, we get this team going to Honduras this week, leaving on Friday. And they will have several opportunities to interact with the Honduran people. And they'll wonder, why are you guys here? Why are you traveling down here? And it'll be, you know, we're here to not only meet your physical needs to help with the medical brigade, but more importantly, we are here to talk about your spiritual needs. We are here because of our love for Jesus Christ, and we want to share that love. So it's going to be a public example of people seeing that faith. When we had the Spanish kids here this summer, one of them said that they saw Jesus in action here. So the challenge is, as we live our lives, are we living lives that people can see that you are a follower of Christ? It doesn't mean you need to be a Bible beater, you know, and, you know, it's love. It's how you handle situations. You know, it's being faithful through situations. It's placing other needs in front of your own. We also see in this Pharaoh, this story with Joseph, that as we go through challenges, as we face difficulties, God will deliver from those difficulties. And I think that's the importance of these lifelines. As you can see, you know, when you have a negative downfall and it goes back up, you can go back and say, oh yeah, that's right, God delivered me out of this situation. Or God is using that situation or whatever. You know, with us, our downfall would be when Sam was born with his disabilities. And I can look back and say, yes, God has used that. You know, it doesn't mean it doesn't go back down at different times and back up, but I can think, okay, well, God got us through this time. God got us through these hospitalizations. God got us through this. You know, God will do it again. God will get us through those times again. I think a glimpse at how difficult those times were for Joseph is as we look at what he named his children. You know, the first child, Manasseh. And that means it is because God made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. You know, so he names his kid Manasseh, saying, God made me forget all this stuff from the past. When he was sold into slavery, when he was 17, to the best of his knowledge, he knew he would never see his family again. To the best of his understanding, he'd never see his brothers, he'd never see his father. And the grief that he would have had to have dealt with would have been very difficult. I mean, he lost everything at that point. And he names his son Manasseh. It is because God made me forget all my trouble in my father's household. God brought me out of that pit. Ephraim, second son, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my sufferings. You know, I believe this word fruitful goes well beyond just having children. God has made Joseph productive in this land where he was imprisoned, in the land where he suffered greatly. And this whole Joseph story at this point kind of reminds you of Job. You know, Job loses everything, kind of has it out with God, recognizes at the end who God is, and God restores Job. You know, we have people in this room right now going through very challenging times, challenging situations. We have people dealing with grief. We have people dealing with illness. We have people going through job issues, unemployment, underemployment, people really disliking their job. We have people here struggling with relationships, the spousal husband-wife relationship, maybe relationships with kids, with other family, with friends. We have people here who are intensely lonely. And that loneliness will only intensify as we enter the holiday season. Life is hard. Life is difficult. Joseph teaches that we need to remain faithful during those difficult times, that we will be delivered from these difficult times. And the thing, you know, as we look at this deliverance, God doesn't promise us that deliverance is going to happen now. You know, Joseph spent 11 years in prison. It was a long time. And maybe for some, that deliverance won't happen this side of heaven. But God promises us that there will be a day when things will be different. You know, and that's been a huge hope with us, with Sam. You know, I would love for Sam to be a normal kid, to communicate and to relate to and all that, but we've prayed for that. But God says there will be a day when that will happen, when every tear will be wiped away. There'll be no more mourning, no more grief. So as we remain faithful through our challenges, we will be delivered. And like I said before, that doesn't mean don't mess it up once in a while. You know, we mess it up. But it's having that dependence on Christ. It's having that faith in Jesus Christ. Howard Rutledge was a POW, 7.5 years in Vietnam, 5 years in solitary confinement. Says, I was intercepting some anti-aircraft fire over Thanh Hoa, about 90 miles southwest of Hanoi. Bailed out just a second or two before my plane exploded in a ball of fire, an explosion I could not possibly have survived. From that moment and for the next 7 years and 3 months, God's hand was on my shoulder, guiding me through a very difficult period. Thanks to the countless thousands that never stopped praying for my safety in return, and thanks to God who answered those prayers, I am absolutely certain that I am now a living testament to the power of prayer. Every day, I planned to accomplish certain tasks. I woke early, did my physical exercise, cleaned up as best I could, then began a period of devotional prayer and meditation. I would pray, hum hymn silently, quote scripture, and think about what that verse meant to me. It took prison to show me how empty my life was without God. You know, this, Howard Rutledge said, day after day after day, I sought to remain faithful. I tried to focus on God. And God delivered him out of that situation. It gives us great hope as we go through challenges that God can deliver us as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the life of Joseph. Lord, I thank you the example he is as he went through that difficult time, as he went through the pit of despair, the pit of hopelessness. Lord, as we here in this body, Lord, as we go through those times of darkness, those times of challenge, those times where it's hard for us to put one foot in front of the other, Lord, I pray you would come alongside us and encourage us and help us to be faithful to you, faithful to your word. We love you, Jesus. Amen.